We've been reading for a couple of weeks now from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He actually wrote two letters to the Corinthians. It was a community that he founded, but then later moved on to other communities to found other churches, but he wrote back to them. And apparently Paul was writing letters back to his churches a lot, but we have some of them still in existence, copies of them. So this is the context for that letter. Now, Corinth was in an isthmus that came out from Greece, and in the middle of that was an area that was only about 5 miles wide, and so there was ocean on either sides of that. So Corinth had two ports, one to the north and one to the south, which made it a very important cultural and military, navy kind of place. It was a cosmopolitan place. People from all over the world were there. They considered themselves educated and sophisticated and wise in human wisdom. I think K-State had a satellite campus there. And so they were a little disappointed in Paul, because Paul apparently wasn't a very erudite speaker. And Apollos and Cephas and others that they had encountered, they were more impressed with the way they talked than Paul. And so Paul gets word back that they find him a little hard to take. And so last week he said this in one way, and today he finishes that argument. And basically the argument is, I really only had one message to preach, and that was Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that goes against earthly wisdom. So he's talking about, you know, you think you're so wise. God's wisdom is foolish to humans. It goes contradictory to what we would normally, in our human thinking, conclude. And that is that the truth is all in the cross. It's all in self-sacrificing love that's always, for all eternity, been in the Trinity and is exemplified in a human person in Jesus. So we can see what that looks like as a human being. And it looks like someone who goes to the cross, someone who is all about the will of another rather than his own will, someone who is more concerned about the people around him than he is about himself, someone who is willing to turn the other cheek, who is willing to walk the extra mile to give his cloak, someone who reigns on the just and the unjust alike, someone who isn't picky about who they like or who they love, and they're willing to be self-sacrificing even to those who hate them, to those who persecute them, to lend to those who can't repay them back. Well, we've heard this all before. Jesus sets up these antitheses. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I say this. You've heard it said, but I say. So in Matthew's gospel, we see Jesus challenging the Christian community to be of a higher righteousness than the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees are the experts in the law, and they know the law, and they're kind of obsessive about obeying the details of the law, and yet somehow they miss the greater law of love, because they are condemnatory of various people, and they're judgmental, and they're the ones setting up the gates. Oh, you can't come in here unless you do this. You know, they're setting up barriers to salvation instead of facilitating salvation. And so Jesus is against all of that. It's a very simple message. It's all about love. Now, one of the insights in the Old Testament is expressed in that first reading from the book of Leviticus. Leviticus had a bunch of laws in it. And those laws were primarily cultic. It's about how the altar should be set up. It's about how sacrifice and offering should be done. But it's also about graciousness and love and mercy toward one another. because even back centuries before Christ, those people writing Leviticus and editing it, they understood that sacrifice, worship, cult has to be in sync with life. And Jesus says something very similar. He says, if you come to offer your gift, if you have something against your neighbor, go first and reconcile with your neighbor and then come and offer your gift. That liturgy and life have to flow in and out of one another, that you can't really separate Sunday from the other 6 days of the week. What we're doing here in church from what we do out there in the rest of our lives, that those two things have to be in sync. Okay, Leviticus understood that centuries before Christ. But Christ, in the Gospels, says, let's go even farther than that. Let's talk about God being love. God is love, St. John says, and anyone who abides in God abides in love. And love God in them. So we're not talking really here about obeying commandments, even though that's a worthwhile project. And if everyone would obey the commandments, it would be a better world, you know. But that's not what we're talking about here. Nor are we talking about getting along. You know, I'll scratch your back so you can scratch mine. Let's just live in peace with each other. Let's stay out of each other's way. Let's be nice. We're not talking about that either, even though that's a good thing. What we're really talking about here is divinity. We're talking about God being love and our dwelling in God and God dwelling in us. So again, St. Paul tells the Corinthians, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit dwells in your very body. Through baptism, through the breath of the Spirit and the anointing of chrism, you have become a member of Christ's body. God dwells in you. And so therefore, the way you act flows from God. It flows from love. So what we're talking about here then is communion with God. We celebrate Holy Communion this morning. This is the communion between me and God and me and you, both. And that all has to happen here. Otherwise, what we're doing here is just nice. But we're not just about being nice. We're about being Christ. We're about taking on the responsibility and the privilege of sharing in divine life, of being perfect just as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And that's how that gospel passage this morning ended. So be perfect just as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So the scriptures talk about commandments. Scriptures talk about love. And so one of the things we're doing here every morning is we're proclaiming the scriptures from that table of the word, and we're nourished by that. We eat the word of God. But the word always moves toward flesh. So the eternal word, the second person of the Trinity, at one point in human history takes on flesh. He takes on a body in Jesus. Word always moves toward flesh. So the word there moves to here and takes on flesh, the flesh and blood of Christ. Word moves toward flesh. Now, if all we did was that, that would be nice, but it would just be an empty word. Because if we're not willing to be sacrificial, if we're not willing to share in the sacrifice of Christ, we're not just remembering the sacrifice of Christ here at the altar. We are participating in it. We are sharing in it. We're laying down our lives along with His. And that's what transforms us into love. And that's the only way that love is real. If it's not self-sacrificing, it's not love. It's nice, and it may help people get along, but it's not love. Love is always sacrificial. And so we get transformed into love by hearing it and eating and drinking it and laying our lives on the altar, entering into it. We enter into God so that God might enter into us. And we, in whatever small way we participate and grow Sunday after Sunday, week after week throughout our lives, we become more powerfully the body of Christ. We become more powerfully sharers in his divinity. He shared in our humanity so that we can share in his divinity. And sharing in divinity is our destiny. We aren't really about anything else. Oh yeah, we have all kinds of other preoccupations and things are important, but we come from God. And we are returning to God. We were created in his image, and we are moving toward his likeness. And that's what love is about. That's what human nature is about. If we don't do that, we're not even fulfilling our nature. We're not even being fully human. And who wants to be something less than what their nature is? Who wants to be something less than what their destiny is? That's the project that we're about.